I don't know about you all, but the message this morning I found inspiring and challenging. It was one of those things that sometimes I think it's good to be challenged to take a good hard look at what are you bringing in to your life? What is it that's capturing your attention, your time? So I'd like this evening to look at a thought the Lord gave me. Faithfulness to God. Now, I'm going to start off reading in Luke chapter 16, verse 1, the parable of the unjust steward. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measure of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of this mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. For if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit to you to your trust the true riches? Now this story, I have to admit, has often gave me pause, and because it almost seems like the unjust steward got away with being unjust, if you read it the way I guess I've always looked at it, because it, you know, it says the rich man commended him for what he did when he started trying to, if you want to say it, manipulate the books even further, so that when he was put out of his stewardship, he would have friends to take care of him, because, you know, he said, I can't dig. And reading some of the commentators on that, they said, well, you know, if you've been a person that has lived the easy life, counted on, dare I say, cheating and stealing to get ahead, you might not have the physique to go out and get a manual labor job. You look at it and know, I couldn't keep up with the workforce. And this man didn't want to beg. So he sat down and he thought. He's sitting there, he's like, you know, I've got a day of reckoning coming. And I find it interesting. Do you know that probably means the books were crooked? Because when the rich man said, you've got to give an account, he didn't go in and try to fix the books, did he? No, he's like, uh-oh, it's going to get real bad. I'm going to get thrown out. So because I know I have this day of reckoning coming, I'm going to do what I can to get ahead of it. While I still have my stewardship, I'm going to do what I can to get ahead of it. Do you realize that's what the rich man was commending the steward for? He wasn't commending him because he had continued to do wrong. He commended him because, well, at least you started looking at the consequences. At least you started trying to address those, to come up with some way so that when your day of reckoning comes, you'll have something. And I think part of that is the right interpretation, because it talked about the children of the world are wiser in their day than the children of light. And if we think about that man's day, his day was, I've just been given notice that my boss is going to go through and check the accounting I've been doing for him, Because he's heard that I've not been faithful in it. I've been taking advantage of him. So I know this day of reckoning is coming. And I need to do something. And he did. He did not do what a Christian should have done, just to be clear. But he did what he felt like needed to be done because he knew where he stood. He knew that he was not going to keep that position. In fact, I noticed in reading, it does not say that while he was commended for what he did to make it easier on him after his job, it does not say he kept the job. It just says the rich man said, well, I see what you've been doing, and that was smart. And the reason why I feel like that's what happened is I've worked with employees where I've had to let them go. And I've seen what they've done trying to take care of things. And I said, well, I see what you've been trying to do. However, I hope your resume's up to date because I'm going to have to let you go. This is not the place where you can work and do that. This is not the way we work. But I want us to think about this. The children of the world are wiser in their day than the children of light. Do you know we all have a day of reckoning coming? Where the Lord's going to come into our lives and say, okay, I'm going to open up all of the books, the book of your life, and I'm going to put it out and I'm going to start going through it. If you receive that notice today, is there anything that, and definitely don't have to share if it does, is there anything that pops into your mind that you might say, yeah, page 239 of my life, I don't like that being there. That's not been addressed yet. And you know what? If you have time, wouldn't it be nice to be able to go address those things, to take care of them? You know, it talks about faithful in little will also be faithful in much, and that if you're unfaithful in little, you'll also be unfaithful in much. One thing I have pondered on, this unjust steward, did he suddenly become faithful when he was called out? Or did he become even more blatantly unjust, if you will? You know, his stripes didn't change, did they? So while he'd been doing dishonest work, when it really came to crunch time where he's really going to be observed, he did even more dishonest work. I'm going to say even more blatantly dishonest work. He wasn't even trying to hide what he was doing. He was just trying to fix it so when it was over, he had people that would be friendly to him. With our lives, where are we at for being faithful? You know, it talked about the unrighteous mammon. That also often is translated as riches and uncertain riches. Those same words are often translated as uncertain riches. And it says, if you've not been faithful in uncertain riches and in the little things of life, why would some man trust you with the things of real value? And believe it or not, I've been pondering on that for quite a few weeks, just in relation to my own life. You know, Lord, I'd like to think that I'm trustworthy. But have any of y'all ever let a task slip just because you were tired? And, I mean, it may not seem like a big deal. You can always do it the next day, get up early, take care of it. But have you ever told someone you'd have it done by a certain time? And I'm just speaking for myself here with the examples I'm throwing out, folks. This is... What happens if you tell somebody, well, I had that task done at 2:30 in the afternoon and you don't get it done till 3:30? The task got done, didn't it? Isn't that all that matters? But what about the person who's been interacting with you? How do you think they look at that? So the next time you go to them and you say, well, you need me to get that done? I'll get that done by noon. What time do you think they put down in their personal notebook? Well, he's consistently an hour late on the dates and times he gives me, so I'll follow up with him at 1. That's probably when he's really going to have it done. Now, what happens if this keeps going? And just using myself for an example, and not all of this is real, but what if this keeps going? And then a promotion opportunity comes up in the company. And my boss is looking around thinking, who could I promote into this position? Do you think it's going to pick me if I'm always an hour late on getting things done? Or do you think he's going to be like, it'd be nice for him, but I need somebody a little more trustworthy. Somebody that if they said they'd get it done at 2:30, it's done at 2:30, if not a little ahead. It's been a challenge for me to stop and think, because I don't think sometimes we stop and think about our day-to-day lives and the impact it might have on how Christianity looks to the world. Because that's the other side you have to look at. Christians are supposed to be people of their word, right? Are you faithful in little? And folks, I can tell you that the Lord's been challenging me on a lot of this, that what are you potentially not as faithful as you should be on? Prayer time? Reading? Worship? Now I want to go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 35. It says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and shall come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Now this parable tells us we need to be ready. Ready for any time. And then I find it interesting in verse 41, it says, then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? So now Peter, good old Peter, it's like, Lord, is this aimed at us, the disciples, or is this more generic for the world to be ready? And so Jesus continues, and the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant saith in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of them they will ask the more. So we see here we've got a warning not to be slack. And when Jesus responded to Peter, he basically laid out 4 scenarios. So there's the one scenario where the man was found doing exactly what the Lord wanted. And when he was found that way, more was added to him. You've been good over the little bit I've given you. I'm going to add more. Doesn't that go back to what we read in the other passage? Somebody that's been faithful over a little, they're going to be faithful over much. Much. I know that person. They've shown what they can do. They've shown their consistency in the little things, in the consistency. I'm going to make them ruler over much. But let's look at the other three scenarios. The one where I say it's religion that's abused. So this one where the fellow believers were put to task. The person, you need to do this, you need to do that. Very harsh, very abusive, very judgmental. Because why would you beat a person? Well, you didn't do what I thought you, I told you to do, smack, smack. But the one that was being this way was partaking of life loosely, weren't they? They were feasting, enjoying life. You know, this person, it said, would be cut asunder when the Lord came back, and that portion would be with the unbelievers. Now, this is a person that was in the church. This section was spoken directly to Peter and the disciples, and I would say to us today. And it was implying that, you know what, you can be going to church all the time, but if you're not careful, you can actually get to where you become a taskmaster for your fellow believers. You start laying out rules. You start cracking the whip. But maybe not necessarily following things yourself the way you should. Giving yourself leniencies, but not for others. We need to be careful with that. Then there was one that it said he knew. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do. He knew what the Lord's will was. But did he do it? No. Did the person even prepare? No. Why not? We really don't have any insight into that. But that person, it says, was beaten with many stripes. And I've thought about that, and I don't know if the person would have made it into heaven. It just says beaten with many stripes. But how would you like to go into heaven with lashes across your back from the good Lord before he let you in? Because of the life you lived. Because you had not been faithful. You know, it might be one thing to go into heaven with lashes from persecution. I think about Thomas wanting to touch the scars in Jesus' hand, feel his side. I don't know about you all, but I know when we get to heaven, if I see that on Christ, to me that's a mark of such honor and distinction because of what how he earned those, what he did for us to get those. But imagine your scars and your stripes up there come from your unbelief. And it says there was another man. He didn't have understanding. How many times have y'all heard? I know I've heard it. People say, well, I just don't understand that. Or that's not the way I understand it. Does it sound like that's an excuse that's going to get you out of trouble? It's still a requirement. Whatever the Lord had asked this person, it was a requirement. Now, the man was beaten with less stripes than the one that knew it. But do you know ignorance isn't an excuse with the Lord? How many people have heard of the Bible, you think, around the world? Have heard of Christianity? That it's a religion and what it purports to have. And you go to judgment and you tell the Lord, yeah, I heard about that book, but I never read it. You can't hold me to it. Do you think the Lord's going to let that fly? So you heard enough about it to know that you probably should go read the book, because it had the instructions for what you should have done. But you chose to take the kind of easy, lazy way out. How many times and this is speaking for myself, for children, have y'all ever tried to reason with your parents about what they actually asked you to do? You know, well, that's not really what you asked me to do. I did what you asked me to do. Well, no, you didn't do what I asked you. Well, you told me this. My dad was happy to talk to you before he whooped you. But you know, it never changed the whooping. It just delayed it. And sometimes I think amplified it a bit, because he had a pet peeve, I'm going to say, if he felt like you were lying to him or being untruthful, it wasn't going to go in your favor once the whooping started. You were going to definitely feel that. When we're dealing with the Lord, how faithful are we with what he gives us? How faithful are we with what he exposes us to? I think of the message this morning. The children of Israel were given instructions. They knew what the Lord's will was. Don't do that. Was it complicated? Do you think any of them could truly tell the Lord, well, I really didn't understand? I really didn't know that's what you meant. Seems pretty cut and dried and clear today, doesn't it? But because they weren't faithful to the Lord, they allowed things in. You know, the folks out in the world that maybe haven't been as exposed to as much as us, I feel like there's things the Lord will be, how's it say in one of the verses, he winks at? Now, I've pondered that verse, because when you wink, you only close one eye. You know, one eye closes, one eye still sees, though. So I've pondered that the Lord's going to wink at some things. He's going to make a record, but it's his choice as the Almighty God to how accountable we will get held to that. He still saw it. It's still going to be a record. But that person may not be held to as much as we have in the truth. We've been given much. What are we doing with it? Are we following it? Or are we claiming we don't understand it? And I'm not saying that there's things, you can ask Brother Ed, Brother Carl, Brother Paul Phillips, Brother Darrell, Brother Marty, there's Brother Clint Crummy, and I've talked about things. Sometimes I go, I have a question. I want to see how you look at something. There's things that I would admit that, would I say I have complete understanding on? No. But you know, there's one thing I have understanding on that I think we all need to consider. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If Adam and Eve had been obedient in the garden without understanding, where would we be today? Does obedience require understanding? I can tell you it doesn't. I had an employee working for me, excellent young man. Put him to work, and his job was simple. He had to just take care of some tasks. They were kind of repetitive, and every once in a while the task would break. And for the first 6 months he worked for me, if that task broke, I knew that I was going to have to get somebody else to go fix it. He could follow the steps of the task, but he didn't have the understanding of what that task was doing enough to go fix it when it didn't work right. He required somebody else to step in. But I knew as long as I gave him those tasks and nothing on the back end broke, I could count on those tasks getting executed. Now, I will admit, 6 months in, one day, all of a sudden, he jumped out of his chair, got excited, started hollering, "I got it, I got it." Of course, the rest of us in the office were like, "What did you get? You woke us all up." And he's all excited. "When I do this, it does this over there, and then that does this over here." You know what had happened? After 6 months of obedience, understanding had came. And now, not only could he do the task, but he could fix it when it was broken. But being obedient didn't require understanding. Sometimes I think as Christians, we think that we have to understand. But you know, part of faith is trusting. Do you think the three Hebrew children understood what God had for them? They said, "We don't know if he's going to let us live or let us die. We don't know. We don't understand the end of this matter. But what we do know is he wants us to be obedient. And if we'll be obedient, guess what? We're good either way. If he lets us die, we're in heaven. Isn't that where we all want to go? Death should not have the same fear for a Christian as it does for somebody just lost in the world. And if he saves them, hey, we're still alive. And he just proved how big of a God he was. And he did. But their task did not require understanding. It required obedience. The king, given the arrows and told to strike them on the ground. Did the prophet that handed him those arrows explain to him in detail what was about to transpire? He just handed him arrows and told him, "Beat these on the ground." All right. Anything else? And the prophet's like, "No! I didn't tell you to stop. Why'd you stop? You should have kept beating." Simple obedience, or the lack thereof, made a difference in what that prophet had to give to that king. Had that king said, "Okay, I don't understand, but you want me to beat him on the ground, I'm going to beat him till you tell me to stop." "Why? But you just told me to beat him, sir. You didn't tell me to stop." Excellent. Excellent. Be obedient. Be faithful. I would challenge us. When we look at being faithful to God, do we count faithfulness as I understand and I'm doing exactly what I understand the Lord wants me to do and I have full knowledge of everything and it all makes sense to me? Is that being faithful to God? Or is being faithful to God saying, "Lord, you've told me to get out of the boat. I know I asked. I asked what you'd have for me. I asked if I could come to you. You said, yeah, come, get out of the boat." What is faith? Well, at some point you got to get out of the boat. You've got to go do what the Lord's asked you to do without the understanding of how it's going to work. Do you think Peter knew how the water was going to firm up? Just put yourself in Peter's shoes. He knew the storm was out there. And I wonder, when Jesus came walking across, was Jesus going up and down with the waves? We don't know that. None of that's really talked there. But have you ever considered, and Chad would know about this from his experience offshore, because I've heard him talk about getting on boats that are going up and down, or getting off boats that are going. You know, there's sometimes you're looking at those waves, and you have to start pondering, how am I going to take the right step? You know, so I got to get out of this boat. Do I wait till the boat goes down and the wave comes up so it's a little step? Do I step out of the boat and while it's up in the air and hope the water comes up to get me? Have you ever thought about Peter in that first step? The things our minds as humans could start putting through our heads. And at the end, what do you have to do? Step out of the boat. Either way, the Lord's going to be there. You may take a really long step down the first one and then get your feet under you. Or you may find that the wave just comes up and you step out, no problem. I would challenge all of us. Be faithful to the Lord so that when you get to heaven, He will be pleased. Y'all pray for me.